Blog Talk Radio.
You know, people come up and ask me, they say, Bishop Long, why do you go through so much and deal with so much criticism? And I say to them, you know, it's not about fame, it's not about prosperity. It's really
for the kingdom, the kingdom.
People that are gifted and talented,
I can just start
so much hope, so many dreams, so many aspirations, and for some reason it seems like the leap before their time. Legend
out,
now you're great, 6 feet deep. Lord, I just pray it don't happen to me. Amen.
Michael Jackson just dropped the other day. Vernon Forrest got popped the other day. Steve McNair got clocked the other day. Lord, I'm just glad that I got another day to do your will and follow your way. Please reveal what you would have for me to say. Lord, I don't want to go before my time, though it's all in your time. Just let me finish mine before you drop it down. Jeremiah 1:5, I was sanctified before you gave me life. Now every day I hop up out of bed and strap my shoes and throw my bag on. Bow to the throne, then throw my cap on. I'm riding on that chrome. You know I got my strap. Take your word to the streets and hit them with that heat. And if I die before I wake, may my soul rest in peace.
I know that.
To take my life before I finish my purpose. Daily you have laid before me blessings and curses. I always choose life to try and stay from them hurts. Desire, you put it in me.
A call,
you put it in me.
Worship,
you put it in me.
My purpose,
you put it in me. Why take a kid to the store if he can't get a tour? Why train a soldier if he can't go to war?
Die with all this in me. I wanna go out empty. Die with all this.
If I try and save my life, then I lose it. I have a purpose in life, I won't refuse it. Lord, you have given me life, so let me use it. If I lose my life, then I save it. But if I try and save my life, then I lose it. I have a purpose in life, I won't refuse it. Lord, you have given me life, so let me use it. Don't let me die before it's my time to go to heaven. Let's go. Cheer.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
Today's
a new day. So tell me, where are my blue skies?
words that love y'all.
Where is the love and the joy that you promised and tell me it's alright?
The truth is,
I almost gave up a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now, I know it would hurt y'all, but still. You're in right now.
Can't cut no fountain in play. Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Miss Sandra. We're here with Legacy Lever on this last day of July. Come on, let's give God some glory. Hallelujah. How is everyone out there this afternoon? You know, some crazy weather going down here in the A. I don't know if it's going to sunshine, if it's going to storm or what, but it's like the preacher that says this morning, the pastor that came, the visiting pastor, shout out to Pastor Davis from New Birth Birmingham, came today. You know what? We ain't running from trouble. We're running right to it. We're ready for the battle. The war cry is on. Look, it's no time to go hide and be in fear because the enemy is not going to stop what he's doing. So we have to be more strategic. We need to be girded up and ready to fight. And speaking of ready to fight, this young man that I'm going to have on today, coming up in just a short while, Mr. Tremaine Stuckey. Now, I met him when I first moved here in 07 at New Birth. Shouts out to my bishop, my pastor, my spiritual father, my daddy, Bishop Eddie L. Long. He's on a beautiful vacation. I know he's tearing it down in, right now in New Birth, Cal. But shouts out to his beautiful wife that stands by his side, First Lady Elder Vanessa Long and the Long family. Thank God and praise God for you and all my New Birth fam all over the world. God bless you. Love you. Thank you for your support. I get your tweets. I get your text messages. I get your calls. I see you in church, and you just give me words of encouragement. And I thank and praise God for that. And shouts out to Miss Jen, who's over there on the West Coast, too, for Firestarters Kingdom Radio. She's out there doing her thing. God is using her mightily in ministry out that way. So, you know, I just thank God for all those who are connecting with us on Facebook, on Twitter. We praise and thank God for you. I mean, it's just like what the preacher said today. It's time for us to continue to rise up as one with a war cry, ready. There's no time to back down. We are at war. We are in a serious spiritual war. And just like Satan has come with all his stuff, guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he who is in this world, that is in me than he who is in this world. I'm like this, bring it on. Bring it on because God already told me the battle does not belong to me, but it belongs to the Lord. And with that being said, if you want to start your day off right, if you even want to start your week off right, you definitely do not want to miss morning glory prayer. I'm telling you, talk about, the Bible says one could put 1,000, just one person could put at least 1,000 to flight. Two, it doubles. It doubles and puts 10,000 to flight. So imagine if you've got over 2,000 people coming together to pray, to stand as one in unity over the word of God, lifting up the word of God to God, reminding God of his word. Now, it's not that he don't know his word. He knows his word. But do we know his word? Do we know, do we have faith enough to believe that God is going to do according to what his word already said? Now imagine over 2,000 people coming together, lifting up these nations, lifting up the government, lifting up the president and his wife and the family, lifting up the education system, lifting up finances, lifting up healing, lifting up relationships and marriages, lifting up children, just lifting up whatever God has laid on Bishop Eddie L. Long's heart to pray for, the people of God to pray for. We are standing in agreement. People from all over are calling in and listening. I'm telling you now they're saying there used to be a whole bunch of prayer requests. Now they're getting more testimonies than prayer requests. God has to back up his word where two or three are gathered in his name together, touching and agreeing. He's there in the midst. Ask anything. Come boldly before the throne. And that's what we have been doing. God has got to move. He's going to back up his word. And he has been doing it. He has been doing it. He has been doing it. Look, if you have a prayer request, if you have a testimony, you want to send it in to Morning Glory at newbirth.org. Again, it's morningglory@newbirth.org. The call number to call in for morning prayer is Monday through Friday, starting at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That number is 760-569-7676. Again, that's 760-569-7676. Now, the access code is 980-291-POUND. Again, 980-291-POUND. Miss Sandra is telling you, Miss Sandra says, and you know God is telling you to even take your prayer life up a notch. Now is the time to do it. We start off again tomorrow morning. Start your week off right. Don't go into work with the same old mess you went in last week, with the same old mentality you went in last week. God's doing a new thing, and you need to come on board. You need to catch. Now, I am going to tell you this. You need to call in at least 5 to 7 minutes early, because lately the prayer line has been getting blocked up at least by 6:45. So you want to get on the line early so you are safe and secure to be on there. So Miss Sandra is saying at least call in by 6:25 a.m. Okay, so again, one more time, 760-569-7676. Access code is 980291#. We also have the Spirit and Truth Conferences coming up in September, September 11th through the 14th. Bishop Eddie L. Long is the conference host, and it will be hosted at New Birth Cathedral. That's in Lithonia, Georgia, 6400 Woodrow Road. The cost for the whole entire conference is only $50, only $50. We can spend that in one night just taking the kids out to eat and to the movies. That's like almost $100 right there. $50 to get fed with such nourishment that will continue to help grow your legacy, grow your bloodline, clean up the bloodline. Look, Spirit and Truth. Let's start off our new season. That's going into the fall season. Let's start off the new season right. Register. You can go right on and find more information about the Spirit and Truth Conference right on newbirth.org website. Again, that's newbirth.org. And all you got to do, everything is laid out for you. You can register right online. And if you need more information, you can definitely dial 770-696-9600 and ask for information. It can definitely tell you what you need to do, how you need to do it. All I know is you need to get there. Now that I've said all that, I want to get back into some great music. Haven't we been having some great music this afternoon? You know, the last person that I just played, of course, was my boy Fred Hammond. No Fault. I love Fred Hammond. Do I have any Fred Hammond lovers out there? I love me some Fred Hammond. That's No Fault off his new CD, Love Unstoppable. And when we had, right before that, we had Kirk Franklin, I Smile. Right before that, we had Edward Long with Mario J. Brown, Don't Let Me Die. And to start it all off, I had none other than my very own Bishop. Shouts out to Bishop. Y'all probably say, well, she always talking about Bishop. That's right, because that's my daddy. That's my spiritual father. And I ain't ashamed of it. I'm saying it all on the World Wide Web. I know one thing. Every show that you can ever listen to, you will definitely hear me giving a shout out to my dad, because I know who God sent me to, who is covering me, who is my spiritual father, who I'm attached to. I am a licensed minister under him, and I will continue to support and love my dad. All, I ain't ashamed of it. Have I lost some followers? Yes. Have I lost some? I don't care, because God is going to multiply. It don't even matter. So I love you, Dad. I'm right here. It's like what Pastor David said today. I'm going to keep on shy. I'm running right to it. Amen. Don't run from trouble. I'm running right into it. Let's go. Fully armored. Let's go. Let's get it. And so we started off the show with Nothing But the Kingdom. So we're getting ready to get back into some great music coming up in just a short while. Again, our special guest, our special person for this afternoon is Tremaine Stuckey. You definitely don't want to miss his powerful testimony. I met him again in 07, and I have just watched him spiritually just grow since I've met him. And I definitely want him to share this powerful testimony that will help transform lives and help you to continue to know that you're not the only one that has gone through some stuff, that there are people that have been delivered, that God has done a miracle in their life. And because you're not alone. Enemy will try to isolate you and make you feel like you're the only one going through it. The devil is a liar. God has prepared people that have gone through it so that they'll be a testimony to you that you'll make it. Today, Miss Sandra's declaring that you will make it. You will live, like the word said, and not die. Jesus said he came that you may have life, and that you'll choose it to inhabit more abundantly when you choose Christ. Amen. So you know what? Let's get back into some great music. Let's go. I'm going back again. I love this song. This is back in the day, and it just lines up with what we were talking about this morning in service. Don't run from trouble. Run to it, knowing that the battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. Let's go.
some noise for the Lord in here. Lift your voice and give him praise. Lift your voice and give him praise. How many know the Lord reigns? Look up, amen.
I get here? How do I stay? When it ends, what will you say? Engulfed in the fire, submerged by the flood, I'm nestled in your love. That's so incredible.
Five days a year, I got you inside my heart.
always remember that God loves you. If nothing else, if you don't know anything else today, remember that God loves you. And how do you know that? Because he gave his one and only son. He not only told you through his word that he loves you, but he also showed you how much he loves you. That was the meat I had. And I went back a little bit with I love you. I'm telling you, we got a hot, hot experience getting ready to come up right now. And I do have our special guest online. He's waiting to come on. He's ready. This is Tremaine Stuckey. Again, I met him when I first moved down in 07 from Connecticut. Yeah, I'm from up north, y'all, from the New England area. But God sent me here and just blessed me to be tied to such a wonderful and awesome bishop and First Family and just a New Birth fam. And I got to know Tremaine through, you know, New Birth Student Ministries. And I've just seen his growth. I've seen his maturity. You know, when I first saw Tremaine, I saw him in the choir. Lord have mercy. And I used to love watching, you know, not that I don't love watching the choir now because I enjoy the choir, but it was something about that tenor section. And that's because Tremaine was there. And you knew Tremaine was there because when I say Tremaine held down the tenor section, and I loved it because he wasn't ashamed to worship. He wasn't ashamed to praise. He wasn't ashamed to sing out for the Lord. And I'm telling you, I just used to get excited just watching him because I love, first of all, I love music and I love great singing. I love great art. I love, you know, I listen to the words of songs. People sometimes get attracted by the beat. Beat could be nice, but the words could be jacked up. So I'm the type, I'm the reverse way. I love to listen to the words first and then the beat will follow. And so I used to just watch Tremaine be so excited about the Lord, on fire for the Lord, and his worship and his prayer life and his relationship with God has truly grown over the years. And I just walked up to Tremaine and I said, and you have to get to know, if you get to know me, you know I flow in the Spirit. And so God was saying, it's his turn. Bring him on Legacy Leader. And so that's what I did. I'm obedient. This is his show. This is his time. This is his experience in being able to minister worldwide across the nations. And I move in what he tells me to do. And he said, get Tremaine. And I want Tremaine to share his testimony. Let him tell the world what I have done for him, so that others can be blessed, so that others can be released. I don't know who's listening in today, but you're going to be blessed by this young man's testimony. And so without, you know, further ado, as they would always say, but coming up right now, I'm about to bring on the air none other than Mr. Tremaine Stuckey. Tremaine, Trey, Shouting John, welcome to Legacy Lever. Come on, give a shout out to the people that's listening to you.
Hey, everybody, what's up? How you guys doing?
So how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Just sitting, just had a wonderful meal, some stuffed chicken that one of my friends made. And right now it's raining outside, and I'm enjoying watching God do what he does best and showing up. Lord. So, hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Just watching God show off his glory, and I'm just having a wonderful time and just basking in how God has moved from glory to glory in my life. So, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Now,
okay.
A lot of people may know you because, you know, Shouting John, because if anybody, you know, goes to New Birth, have ever been at New Birth, even if you've watched us on TV, there's two men that run around with that speeds of lightning, and Tremaine is one of them. And so let's start off with, you know, first of all, who is Tremaine Stuckey? I mean, you know, why do they call you Shouting John? I mean, we say Shouting John because we see you dancing all the time, but what is the real story behind Shouting John?
Well, that story goes back to a while back, actually, back when I was still in middle school, I think. I was a member of a church called Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church with Bishop William Shields out in Norcross, Georgia. And I used to sing in the youth choir there. And that's where I got the name Shouting John. They were the ones that, you know, put that on me because I, as a young child, I was always praising God. Even when my when I was like 5 years old, my grandmother used to take me to church down in Macon, Georgia. We used to attend this church called Overcoming Church of God in Christ. And I used to praise God because I just saw what the adults did and was like, that looked like fun, so I'm going to do it too. Not really knowing everything that goes with praise and worship, but it started at an early age. But the name Shouting John actually came from Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church. And then my mother and I, we moved to the south side of town, and we changed our membership over to Word of Faith with Bishop Dale C. Bronner. And at the time, it was in the southwest side of town. And they called me Shouting John there. This was like a name that I never really, you know, told people. Hi, my name is Tremaine, a.k.a. Shouting John. People just, because they saw my praise and my worship before God, they just came up with the name Shouting John. So even at New Birth, I was actually called Shouting John before I even joined the choir, and it was the choir that gave me the name Shouting John, unbeknownst to me at the time. And I'll never forget, I was walking around the church, as I normally do, just walking and talking and meeting new people. And I walked through the multi-purpose room where the choir was situated at between services, and this lady just called me out. She was like, Shouting John, come here. And I instinctively knew she was talking to me because I turned around, and it was like, they started laughing. It was like, this dude knows his name. And I was like, well, I've been called Shouting John in my other two churches that I've been members of, and I just never thought anybody would call me that here, but the name just stuck and it followed. And the reason the whole church knows my name was one Wednesday night when William Murphy, well, Pastor William Murphy now, the third, we went into a high praise moment, and I ran across, and unbeknownst to me, because I was so far gone into the spirit of praise, that he was like, we done got Shouting John to running and shouting up in here. Y'all better come on and praise the Lord. I didn't find out that he had called me out over the speaker until Sunday, where one of the members of the praise and worship team was like, you heard your shout out? I was like, no. And it was like, well, he was evidently drawn in the spirit. But, yeah, that's where it came from. And I've been praising God before the name, and I'll be praising God after the name. So.
Amen. So Shouting John, I mean, people just call you that without you even saying a word to them.
It's like they're either calling me Shouting John, and because the funny thing is because so many people have heard other people call me Shouting John, they actually say, oh, his name is John. And I'm like, well, actually my name is Tremaine, but hey, it's whatever. I just go with the flow.
They're not going to call you Tremaine. They're going to call you what they see, John. Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what your real name is, but when we see you, I found that out, especially in the South. It's not what your actual name is. It's the name that they give you, you know. I'm like, okay, they used to call me Angel. And for a long time, I thought my name was Angel. And I'm like, well, my mom called, you know, because that's what they say. And you just don't correct them. The Angel, come in. Okay, that's not my name, but that's what they call me. And so I can understand what you say when you say they call you John, even though your name is Tremaine. And so with that, still staying in the frame of, and today's experience is called Free to Worship. And that's what I see when I see you. You don't care who's around. I know a lot of people, you know, may say stuff like, you know, they don't take all that, and why is he so loud, and why, oh, Lord, there he go running again. Why is he running so much? Why don't they just sit him down? He just out of order. He out of control. But you're on the World Wide Web right now. Why do you praise God with everything that you got. That by time, I promise you, everyone that's listening, everyone that's at Newberg, I promise you, I don't know why Shout and John don't bring him some extra clothes. He just need to have a whole closet to say this is for Tremaine Stuckey, because by time service finishes, I'm telling you, he done sweated and shouted, and he just need to go ahead on and shower. Just go on down to the Family Life in the shower and put on some fresh clothes, because he gives God everything and then some. So tell us, why do you praise God with such fire and such passion the way you do?
Well, I've always, you know, been under the realization that God is a great and awesome God, and I've known that from, you know, from hearing people say that he is, but then I've always, you know, I've experienced his greatness over and over and over again in my life when I was living right, and also during the time when I was living wrong. He's always been there. And my praise just comes from the fact that he is God Almighty, that he is who he says he is, and also the things that he's brought me out of. I've shared with a couple of people at the church, well, a lot of people, but I used to live a double life, basically. I was brought up, you know, by my grandmother early on, and she used to take me to church. But there was a time where my mom and I, we really didn't attend church that much, but I fell into a lifestyle of homosexuality growing up, not knowing what they call gender confusion, not knowing who I was and who I am. And it was something that as I got older that I started deviling into more and more and more. But to get back to the question, why do I praise God so much? I just praise God because he has such an incredible love for me. And to just look back over my life, look back what everything that I've been through, homelessness, just everything that he's done for me, I can't help but show my gratitude and show my thanks and show my thankfulness unto him, because he is who he says he is. He is a good God, and we may go through like so many trials and so many circumstances, but to know that God puts us through these things so that we can be a testimony to somebody else, and that he wants us and wants to use us and wants to know us so much that he'll stop all heaven and earth to get our attention. And looking back over my life, looking back through the things that I've done, through the things that I haven't done, how he's protected me, how he's kept me, how he continues to keep me, and how he continues to surround me around the right people that help me to grow more and more into the man that he's called me to be. It's just an amazing thing to just stand back and be like, God, you did all this for me so I can show you glory. And so it's just going back to him. I'm just give him glory, and that's where my praise comes from. It just comes from everything that he's just done for me, all of who he is, all that he will ever be in my life. And I just can't say enough about the glory and the greatness that he's bestowed upon my life. So, yeah, it's just innate in me. It's just in there, so.
Amen, amen. And so, as we continue to talk about, you know, like you said, free to worship, and you talked about a lot of the things that you said you was living a double life, and none of us can throw any stones at anybody, period, because we all done some stuff that, oh, God, so we just thank God for his grace and his mercy. God for Jesus. And so there's a lot of people that may be listening to you and saying, wow, I didn't know Tremaine, was in the homosexual lifestyle, was homeless. Could you just, you know, I know we're focusing on the question that I asked, but I really want you to, because there might be some people that's struggling with that, trying to come out of that, thinking about going into it, and I want you to just really you know, go into it a little bit deeper, because this is ministry, and if anyone's listening that may be dealing, I want you to share how God has brought you through all of that, and it's still, and, you know, it's keeping you to the point where, you know, you are so strong enough to stand that you can, you know, they just see the glory on you. So those that may not know you, they hear, they heard a little bit of what you said, but I want you to share your testimony of how God delivered you and brought you through all of that.
Okay, well, my testimony actually starts, well, we can all say it starts when you're born, but how God started bringing me out was I had an honest desire to come out. And I think a lot of people don't understand that you won't never get out of anything until you have the desire and the passion and the drive to say, I want to be out of this thing and do whatever it takes. And that's the first thing that my testimony starts out with. Even when I started having sex with dudes, and even before then, my attraction to dudes, I was like, Lord, I know this is wrong, but I don't know how to stop. Just show me any kind of way to stop. And for the longest, I would go in my own strength and then fall right back on my face and go in my own strength and fall back. It was like a cycle. And one of the things that has helped me in walking out my deliverance process and continue to walk in deliverance on a day-to-day basis is that I finally know what it is that I'm called to do for his kingdom. I finally know what it is that I'm called to do for his people. And for the longest time, when you don't have a set goal to go after and to go forward in and to move in, and when I say goal, or what I should say is the will of God for your life, you're liable to do any and everything that's outside of his will because you don't know what your will is in him. And so for a long time, I was like, I don't know what my destiny is. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what it is that I'm called to do. And the thing was, I never really had anybody to, one, hold me accountable of going after finally what he told me, because back in 2004, I remember riding the bus, and I was like, Lord, what is it that you want me to do for you? I don't know what it is that I'm called to do. And he was like, I was writing all this stuff out, and I was like, I can dance, because at the time I was a little bit skinnier, and I could dance. I could sing. I could write a book, and it was something else that I had wrote. And so God told me to circle, write a book, and he said, that's what I want you to do. I want to want you to write a book about your testimony. And I'm like, I don't know how to write. And it was funny because a lot of times also in my process of, you know, being delivered, God would give me a glimpse of something that I was supposed to do, and because I was so scared of what it was that he was calling me to, I would relapse, for the lack of a better word. So since 2004, when he told me to do that, up until literally this past summer, or it probably started in the springtime, I was going through a vicious cycle of the same thing. I would get to a point where I was, like, kind of stable. Then everything would just be swept up, you know, from up underneath me, and then I would go back into that lifestyle and reveling in it and trying to cope with the pain and the hurt that I was feeling. And then I would work myself back out, and I would be like, okay, I'm going to live for you, go a couple of months, and then, boom, something else would happen. So what's keeping me and what's holding me now is that, first of all, I have a group of people that are, you know, covering me. They speak life. They make sure that I'm doing what it is that God has called me to do. They hold me accountable. And at one time, before I didn't have that, but now I do have people that keep me accountable, keep me on my P's and Q's, tell me when I'm not doing something right or when I am doing something right, they congratulate me. And also, what goes back to the beginning of what I said was knowing what your purpose and destiny is. And to only find out how to do that, you have to go to God. So though he told me to write this book in 2004, I was like, nah, that's okay, I'm not going to do that. So, you know, immediately the next year, 2005, was one of my worst years ever. I was homeless. Me and my mom, we really didn't have the best relationship at the moment, at the time. We have a great one now, but at the time, we didn't have the best relationship. And what led up to me leaving, because I had left two other times before, and she accepted me back into her home two other times, but on the third time that I left, God told her, she was like, you know, God dealt with her and was like, you have to give him over to me. You have to go through this. So I can never remember, I never forget, one time I did call, I was like, I want to come home, but she was like, you got to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And I can't sit here and baby you, because that's not going to get you to where you need to be. So I was like, okay, yeah, what am I supposed to do? So 2005 was like one of the worst years. I was homeless. I went from living in a halfway house. And the halfway house had dudes that had been in jail, or they were just coming out of drugs. So I was exposed to a lot of different stuff that I had never seen before and never had encountered. But I went from living there for a couple of months, going to church, and singing in the choir, to going to live in the back of a barbershop / salon where I used to be a shampoo assistant. And it was like everything kept drying up and closing down, because when I started working there, I worked there for a couple of months, and then the place closed, and I had nowhere to go. I was literally, like, on the street. And it was funny when I said, you know, I need to keep some clothes, you know, at the church. Well, at one point in time, I actually had a bin of clothes in one of the old robe rooms at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, and it stayed up in there from, like, all of 05 to the middle of 06 when I was staying with a friend of mine, one of my dear sisters who sings in the choir, Miss Teresa. And they stayed in there for a long time, and no one ever really knew what it was that I was going through. No one really knew what it was that I was experiencing, because, like, at that time, I was living a double life. I was doing one thing in the church house and then doing whatever I wanted to do in the street. And, you know, God was like, you got to stay focused on me. And I must say that through it all, he never let me get to the point where I was like, I want to just kill myself and off myself, because he wouldn't let me do it. And even I would think about it or whatever, and I would be like, no, it's something that I have to do. It's something that I have to do, and it's something that I'm not doing that's causing me to fall back into this vicious cycle of repetition. So last year, I was like, you know, I'm just fed up with my life and how it is, and I choose to live for God. And so I was like, whatever it is that he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. And so I started seeking God, and, you know, he came, and he was like, you're supposed to do the work of an evangelist, and you're also called to be a prophet to the nations. And I'm like, a prophet? What? But like I said, surrounding yourself with friends will help you, friends that are good, godly friends that are not trying to lead you back, but trying to see what God sees in you and can speak you into the place where you need to be. I have several friends, Adonis Jules, Kevin Terrell, and the list can go on and on, Kimberly Thomas, that have spoken into me and was like, dude, you're supposed to be living better than this and doing much more than this. And you always look at it as yourself as one of the lower people in the what we quote-unquote call the church family. But you are actually, you don't know, my big sister Adrian, she always used to tell me, she was like, you just don't know how much God wants to use you. But God gave me a glimpse. He was like, you're supposed to be an evangelist. You're supposed to do the work of an evangelist. You're supposed to be a prophet. And that's what I've called you to do. Now you got to wake up and walk in everything I've called you to walk in, because it's people that you're sent to speak into, sent to teach, and sent to walk with that are waiting for you. And you cannot be selfish knowing and experiencing the love that I have for you. You have to dispense that, what I give you, out to others. And I'm like, well, Lord, why does it have to be so hard, and why me? And he was like, why not you? You're the one that has a desire to please me and to serve me. You need to walk in that desire. And so I was like, okay. So long story short, Bishop Murphy came a couple of weeks ago, and he was speaking so that it felt like I was getting pimp slapped in the church, because it was like he was saying that we need to start doing those things that God has called us to do, and you can't be sitting up on your blessed assurance just holding on to what God is giving you. You have to speak and let it be known. And I'm like, okay. So at the start of, what was this? I think it was June. I started to write my book. And when I tell you the joy that I have and the freedom that I have now doesn't compare to anything that I can ever experience. Well, I've never experienced it. It doesn't compare, because I've never experienced anything like this, because I finally know that I'm walking in the direction where God has called me to walk. I'm walking to being an evangelist. I start my evangelism classes in the fall, and I'm looking forward to that, but also being around people that have the same calling, and also having that small group support, and being able to be free with people that you can trust and who won't tell all your business, who will keep you accountable and hold you accountable and check on you and call you. That means so much to me, and so much to people that want to get out. They have to be able to listen to God, to seek out those godly relationships that will help them on their journey to destiny. So in my book that I'm writing currently, I got like 24 pages, but as of 3 weeks ago, I had zero, so let's give the name of the Lord for that. But in my book, it goes further into detail about how as a child, I was different from most children. I was kind of soft when it came to what other boys used to do, like they used to climb and play sports, and I really didn't like sports. And I don't really believe that I was born gay. A lot of people say, well, I was born gay, and I've heard our pastor, Bishop Long, speak about that in detail in his sermon, Deliver Me from Adam, God is After Himself. And he talked about how people can grieve at weddings, grieve at funerals when they're pregnant, and how the spirit can come into the child that unborn or whatever. But I don't believe necessarily that I was born gay. I believe that because there was such a great destiny attached to my life that Satan caused whatever to happen, because some people were like, you know, you were molested. And I'm like, well, I don't remember the molestation. But even in writing my book, I remember certain things that happened to me when I was as young as 7 or 6 years old, where people touched me in the wrong way, or certain things that happened that I was like, whoa, okay, that's kind of out of the ordinary. And I had plain up forgot that all of this stuff had ever happened to me. So how, as a young child, I was faced with these questions of, am I a boy, or am I a girl trapped inside of a boy's body, and not necessarily not knowing how to, you know, a six-year-old child doesn't know how to process these particular feelings. And if they're raised up in a society where there's so much fear and so much bad mouthing, we all know that being gay or being homosexual is a sin, but the stigmatism that the world puts on it also keeps a lot of people shut up from telling what it is that they're experiencing. So if you can keep somebody shut up from not telling and opening up their mouth, saying, okay, I'm feeling like this, And yet they're scared because if they open their mouth, somebody's going to belittle them and degrade them and make fun of them. Then there's no way for that person to get help because nobody wants to be belittled and picked on and made fun of. A lot of that happened to me coming up. I was talked about. I was called fag. I was called gay. I was called this and other. And in my book, I'm like trying to show people, you know, if you see a young child that's dealing with certain things, or if you can see, if you have the discerning spirits and you can see that this child is going through, love that child out of that thing that's going on in his mind. Love that child into a place of comfort where they can be able to tell you, this is what I'm going through. Am I supposed to be feeling like this? And then once those issues come up, you can take them to the Word of God and pray with them and then walk with them and then find other people that can walk with them and show them the right way to go. As I got older, like middle school, high school, the teasing was always there. I always thought I was ugly, had low self-esteem. And with the advent of high school, I started getting on the internet and looking at lewd things and becoming addicted to pornography and meeting up with people that I had no business meeting up with and doing things in secret that, you know, never came to the light, but doing things that inside I knew was wrong, but I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't know where to go to get help. And, you know, we always say that we're supposed to go to the church and that we can go to the church, but then the church really doesn't know how to combat this issue and how to receive these people that are dealing with this particular lifestyle. They don't know what to do. So as a person that's been in the lifestyle, that knows the in and outs of what it is that's going on, because I've experienced it myself, I believe that God is calling me to minister to those people that really and truly and honestly want to come out. And that's been the one saving grace when it comes to my walking to deliverance, because I'm always thinking about the person that will fail because I've fallen, or who will not be able to rise up because I haven't risen up. So once you get something in your mind that's going to keep you stayed in the will of God, stayed before his throne, and stayed in his glorious presence, nothing can deter you, because I have been approached, I have been called, I have been texted by different dudes, and I'm like, yeah, I got a greater glory to go after. I have a greater glory, and this is not it. Now, I can help you get out, but you got to want to get out. But no, I'm not going back to those things like I used to do. I'm not going back to looking for love and looking for the love that, honestly, I felt that I never received from my father. Though I knew who my father was, and he was a great, and he is a great man, it was a lacking of love and of support that I didn't receive as a young child that kind of warped my view also. So, yeah, I've said a lot, and I've rambled, but, yeah.
You didn't ramble. No, you ministered. I'm sitting here, I'm just like, God, look at you through Tremaine. Oh, my goodness. I am so proud of you at this very moment, Tremaine. You are, God is so, he's always been using you, but I'm just thanking God that you said yes. Because I'm telling you, all I can see is like, oh, it's going to be so many getting delivered just by you standing, just by you not giving up. And, oh, you just, my heart is just so happy right now. And I'm like, God, this is tremendous. I said, now, you know, people can understand why you shout so hard, why you run after God the way you do with such passion, why you might end up falling out on the floor and like, just leave him alone. He all right? Because look at, man, I see why the enemy was trying to, you know, just trying to distract you with so much, because God is just he's like, okay, this is what I told you before you came on this earth. This is what I told you you're going to be doing. And so I implore you, I encourage you to get that book written. I'm thanking God right now that it will sell over a million copies and beyond. I'm thanking God right now that you will be in high demand. I'm thanking God right now you will get through all of your evangelism classes. You'll get your BA in theology or biblical studies or whatever it is. I'm thanking God that you will not have to worry about not one penny or dime coming out your pocket, but that it's all where God's favor will shine over your life to give you every financial need to be paid for. I'm thanking God because you're giving him 250% of your praise and worship to him. I'm thanking God that he is turning that, opening up doors and turning everything around. I'm just so, I know your friend, your sisters and your brothers and the friends and family that's listening, they probably shouting on the other end because you may not understand how you're sounding coming over the airwaves. And you don't sound, you don't even sound like when I first met you. You sound like, I'm telling you, I can tell you've been in God's face. Put it that way. And you've been spending some great quality time with him. I'm so proud of you, Tremaine. I am so, And I'm just so glad you said yes to come on today's show. What a ministry experience. And I'm telling everybody, come back, make sure they listen to this show here and then share with folks that might be dealing, you know, going through what you were talking about in the testimony. And so I just praise and thank God for you. I'm just going to take a moment, and I'm just going to dedicate this song to you worldwide. And it's by Marvin Sapp, The Best in Me, because that's exactly what God has seen in you from all along, the best in you. And I'm just thanking God that you have decided to answer to what he said is already about you, and that's the best in you. And then we're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere, Tremaine, because we're really going. I really want you to be able to share the love of Christ for what he's done for you. I want you to be able to share that with millions of listeners around the world that may not know who you're talking about, but they know they're dealing with what you've been through, and they just want who you have. And so we'll be right back. We're dedicating this song, The Best in Me, to Mr. Tremaine Stuckey.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Yeah.
your hand a witness tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help of it here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
Welcome back to Legacy Libra. I am your host for this evening, Miss Sandra. And I'm telling you, if you've missed any part of this experience, make sure you go back and listen to it from beginning to end. We have none other than our special guest today, Tremaine Stuckey. And I'm telling you, the testimony is just powerful, life-transforming, just impactful, empowering. I'm thinking about bringing him on for a couple of things myself because there's so many that are dealing with this, don't know how to get out of it. You want to get out of it, and he's talking about how he's been delivered. God delivered him through coming out of a homosexual lifestyle, and now how God is just truly using him in a mighty and powerful way, and how God has strategically placed him with people, with friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that are holding him accountable. The one key thing he said, being held accountable, God blessing him with people that love him through all of this, people that are just speaking life into him. And he said one thing that he also said also was you have to have a desire to want to come out of it. Not only was he dealing with homosexuality, I mean, he's brown things with dealing with drugs, and he was homeless for a while. I mean, you know, just he's been through a lot, but all because God saw what was in him. And, you know, even though we have a choice, we could have, you know, sometimes, I mean, I just talk about myself, you know, a lot of things I didn't have to go through or experience, but I made a choice too because I was just being disobedient, just being hard-headed. But thank God, in spite of all that, he still saw the best in me, and he still gave me grace and mercy, and he still prepared a way for me to walk through all these things. So now I'm even better than I was before, and I even have a greater testimony than I did before. And it's the same thing with Mr. Tremaine Stuckey. So we're bringing him back live on the air. And Tremaine, again, thank you so much again for coming on this afternoon and just sharing your testimony worldwide. Now, I don't do any show without offering Christ. And I just want you to use just a little bit of your testimony mixed with your deliverance and how you would minister to someone about Christ in your own way, how let the Lord use you and how God has been using you to minister to millions of people around the world.
It would be my pleasure. Well, to know Christ and to have the joy that I have, the passion that I have, the drive for all the things about him is the best thing that could ever happen to you, to your family members, to anybody that knows you. I mean, he is the great. I have a set of friends with my seven young adult ministry, and they say he is the worthy, but he is worthy. And the thing about it is he wants to have relationship with you, and he wants to be in relationship and to know you intimately. And the only way that you can know God the Father and experience his joy, his love, his peace, even his chastisement, because if he didn't chastise you, it means that he doesn't love you. But to experience all of those things, you must first come into relationship with Jesus Christ, because through him and the sacrifice of you know, acknowledging the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God, that he is the Son of God, that he came and he lived and that he died upon a cross and that he was in a tomb, buried for 3 days, and on the third day he rose and he sits beside the Father. You have to come into the knowledge of Christ in order to receive and to know and to walk in everything that you desire to walk in. And sometimes you might not even desire to walk in. I know I didn't desire into wanting to walk in being a prophet or being an evangelist, but once you fall in love with him, you'll fall in love with the things that he loves, and you'll learn to hate the things that he hates. But our God loves all. He knows all, and he wants to be in relationship with all. And so I just would admonish you that if you don't know him, get to know him for yourself. Your mother may have known him, but that won't work for you. Your grandmother may have known him, but that won't work for you. You have to know our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit. You have to know him for yourself, and he will be able to lead you into all things and to guide you into all things for his will and for his glory over your life, because there is a work for you to do. You may be down and out. You may be sick. You may be struggling. Whatever it is, those are only devices that squeeze us to get to know him. And a lot of times he applies pressure just so you can just go into what it is that he's called you to do. Prime example for me, I had a job for 4 years that I worked at Chick-fil-A, and I decided that I was going to work at another place that I had actually got hired for. And it was a chance for me to come out of fast food because I've worked in fast food for a long time. But in coming out, I came into something that was much worse, and everything dried up. I couldn't go back to Chick-fil-A because they had hired some people. Everything was just over and done at Chick-fil-A, and I couldn't go back to that. I didn't have this job that I was promised, and I was just left out in the dark, so to speak. But God used that to push me and to propel me into where I'm at now. And if it wasn't for that, I would probably still be not writing my book, not walking where God has called me to walk to and towards and in for his glory. So in all things, whatever it is, he wants to move you forward. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants, and he does know you, but he wants to know you intimately where you can hear his voice and you can know that it's him that speaks. And you can know that it's him that's telling you and urging you to do what it is that he's called you to do. He wants to hear your voice respond back to him. He wants to hear your adoration, your praise, your love. He wants to hear your pain. He wants to hear your struggle. He wants to hear everything that's going on about you. And yes, he knows and sees all, but just to hear it from someone that loves him means much more than him just already knowing, because you're talking and you're having communion with him. So I would just pray that if you don't know him, get to know him today, and you can know him and receive all that he wants to give unto you, and you can walk with him in the cool of the day as Adam did in the garden. You can walk with him in the heat of the day as it is now. You can walk with him when it's dark. You can walk with him when it's light. You can walk with him, but the main thing is you're walking with him. And even when the things get so hard where you can't stand on your own and you can't move and you are just stuck in a place, he will pick you up and bring you to where he wants you to be. So I admonish you, if you don't know Jesus, if you need to know him, just follow me as I lead through this prayer and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to receive you. I want to know you. I want to grow in you, and I want to know all the things about you. I want to move into the glorious position that you have called me to before the very foundations of the earth. I want to be a child of yours. I want to grow in you and do all those things that you called me to do. Come into my heart. I am a sinner. I have sinned, and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. And the only way that I can be saved is through knowledge of Jesus Christ and through communion with him. And after you're saved, and you are saved if you repeated that prayer, but after you're saved, I'm going to pray that you will receive the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the power that keeps us going. It's the power that comforts us. It's the power that keeps us. It's the power that leads us into all right things and all good things for the glory of God. And I know it was the Holy Spirit that led me to leave my job for 4 years and to go after this job that just dried up and left me out, you know, in what I perceived to be the dark and the cold. But it was that same Holy Spirit that caused all those things to shut down for me and to open up what was before me, which was my destiny, which was my book, and he can do the same for you. So I just pray that if you don't know him, now is your chance to know him. This is your appointed time. This is your time to get whatever it is that he's put in you and give it back to him. As Bishop said last week, it's time to give back the change that you owe God. If he gave you something, it's time for you to give back what he's given you. And I just admonish you to know him for yourself. Know him in the person of Jesus Christ. Know him in the person of the Holy Spirit. And know him in the person of God the Father. And he will direct you. And I just pray and I just plead the blood over you. I plead the remission of sins, O Lord. I just thank you and I bless you because you have already done it. As they have called upon you, as they have accepted you into your heart, into their heart, they are in communion with you, and you are saved, and you are set free. Now it's time to walk in that deliverance, and it's time to walk out those things. And the only way that you can do that is if you find a good body of believers, a church. Our church is wonderful despite all the lies they've said, but our church is wonderful. If that's not for you, find a good Bible-based believing church that will help you to grow, that will minister to you, that will love you into where it is that God has called you to be. And I can tell you that you will do great things for the kingdom because I'm doing great things myself. So, and I just thank you, and yeah, it's already done. In Jesus' name, it's already done.
Woo! That's all I can say is woo! Jesus! Woo! Yes, God. I feel like celebrating right now. Terrain, don't go anywhere. I got to get into this track because today we're talking about freedom worship, and we have Terrain Stuckey as our guest this afternoon. I'm telling you, this man is on fire. You so on fire. I'm sitting there. I'm like, God, you better go, God. Oh, man. I'm just like, I mean, Terrain, wow. This is a wild moment. You know what? We getting ready to get into this track, Kent Jones Necessary, because if you ever come in contact with Terrain, Terrain loves to praise God. He loves to worship God. He is free to worship him in his own unique way, and I'm telling you, he is on fire. Y'all better not sleep on Terrain, because this man is, Terrain, you preaching. You are ministering. Your life is a testimony in itself, and it sure is speaking loud across the nations right now. So I need y'all to get up and celebrate Terrain Stuckey, celebrate his life for him, celebrate his deliverance, celebrate that God is using him in a mighty way, celebrate that in spite of what everybody thought, said, did to him, God still is using the best in him, celebrate for where he's going, stop being a hater, and when you see him, give him a hug, put something in his hand, say, you blessed me on today's show, and keep going, encourage him, help continue to make sure he stay on that right road. But we're getting ready to get into this next track right now, Kent Jones, My Praise Is Always Necessary.
We'll be right back.
you got your praise on out there, because we are celebrating life today. And again, if you're just logging in, we had Tremaine Stuckey as our very, very special guest. We're down to the last few minutes of today's experience. I don't even like to call it a show. So, Tremaine, like in about 2 minutes, I need you to just give your last final defining words you would like to leave with our listeners around the world.
Okay, well, let me see. Well, all I know is that God is a God who loves, and he's a God who cares, and he wants to just be known to his people. And I don't care wherever you are, whatever you're going through, I've seen the highest and I've seen the lowest, and God has always been there. Even sometimes when everything around us seems to say that he's not, he's actually in the midst. Like the boys with the fiery furnace, he was with them. So whatever thing that you're going through, I know it's hard and difficult, but God is there. He is there. He is there. And he loves you more than you ever know or understand. It's just unending, and it's unyielding. His love will never cease, and his love will never stop. So that's all I can say at the moment, is that God loves for you. He cares for you. He has his hands on you, just like the Marvin Sapp song. He has his hands on you. And though you may not realize it or recognize it, he's watching you. So just keep moving. Don't ever stop. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Don't ever throw in the towel, because, as like I said earlier, I'm attached and called to save some people who are waiting on me. You are attached and called to some people that's waiting on you. So don't leave them hanging because you won't answer the call for yourself. So that's not it.
You so on fire, it's ridiculous. Ooh, Jesus. Amen. I pray y'all listening to what he's saying now. In what you just said, how important is it to tie in worship with staying delivered? Could you just explain that too? Because our theme for today, because like I said, we always see you free to worship. And how does that tie in with everything that you just told them? How important is it to be free to worship in Christ?
To be free in worship in Christ, well, first of all, we have to, you know, look at the fact that worship is a every minute thing. It's not an every Sunday or every Wednesday or every time I go to church. To me, worship is a lifestyle, and worship is an every minute thing. Now, there are certain things that you'll do on Sundays and Wednesdays or in your private time at home, but in riding the bus, that's worship. Everything that you do, you're supposed to do it unto God, and if you're doing it for God, that's just like a worship and a praise and a sacrifice unto him. So it's important to keep worship at the front, worship at the focus of whatever it is that you're doing, because not only will you strive for excellence and perfection in that striving, you'll get better and better at doing whatever it is that God has called you to do, because you recognize that you're doing it for him. So, you know, even when you're in the places like church or whatever, don't be, you know, bogged down by the burdens, because most of those things we're supposed to lay it down and give it over to Christ anyways. And there's a freedom and a release that I can say that comes from just worshiping and praising God with all your might, just like David. He worshiped and praised and just glorified God, but he also went through hell. A king was trying to kill him. Then when he became king, there was hell in his own house. You know, one son is raping his daughter, and the other son is trying to take over his throne. But yet, God, you know, David stayed true to his worship and his praise before God, and that's where a good majority of the book of Psalms comes from. So it's just an important thing that it fuels, it ignites, it just strengthens, and it's the access and the doorway into the presence of God where he can then come and, like, heal and deliver and do what it is that he needs to do, because you've set up a throne for him to sit. So that's how important it is to me.
Amen. Amen. Jermaine, again, thank you so much. You have just been an awesome, awesome, true blessing this afternoon. And definitely I'll be posting this show all on my Facebook, Twitter. Y'all spread the word. Share it with all that need to hear this young man's testimony. We thanking God that this is just the beginning of the awesome, great things that God is doing, and we seal it in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that your book, again, it's already, all the expenses already paid for. All you're going to have to do is just finish writing it, and I thank God that somebody going to take it and help run with you to make sure it gets out there. So, again, what you do for others, trust me, God is going to make sure he takes care of you. Amen.
Amen. I receive it.
Amen. So it's been a blessing. Again, we will definitely be in contact again, Tremaine, because definitely I want you to continue to just minister about this whole thing and take it even a level higher. So, again, Tremaine, I thank and praise God for you, and thank you again for being on Legacy Lever this afternoon.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you, Tremaine. All right, we are down to our last few minutes of Legacy Lever. We thank you all for tuning in today. Miss Sandra has to get on the road this week. I have a funeral to attend up north. But I will be back on August 11th. Oh, my gosh, you just do not want to miss August 11th. I cannot release it just yet. But it's going to be awesome, off the chain. And you just watch my tweets. Follow me on Legacy Lever, Legacy_Lever, or Miss Sandra Says, MSSONDRASAYZ. You also can find me on Facebook under LaSandra J. Hardy, and also we have a fan page, Legacy Lever, The Next Generations. Make sure you click that like button. Also, you can also find information on the Firestarters Kingdom fan page as well. So stay tuned. I'll be announcing who our special guest is on August 11th. Until then, make sure you go back. Make sure you listen to the archives. Make sure you follow us even on Blog Talk Radio on the page of Legacy Lever. Spread the good word about what we're doing. We're ministering in a whole different way that's reaching millions of people across the world. And whatever God puts his hands to, he's got to bless it. He's got to expand it. So watch out pretty soon. I'm thanking God in advance. It hasn't happened yet, but I know I'm putting it out there because I got people touching and agreeing. We're going to be coming through your stereo very soon in your car. We're still going to remain on internet-based worldwide because we don't want to lose that ministry, but we need to be bumping through your cars as well. And so I thank you for joining in and believing God for that we're going to be extending. We're going to be expanding. We're going to be able to hire more people to run all the productions. God is just going to do his thing. And so I thank you pretty good. Look, don't go by a day that you don't share a smile. Don't go by a day without laughing about something. Regardless of what you're going through, the Bible says in everything, give thanks. In everything, if you're breathing, that's enough to give him praise. If you hear the birds chirping, that's enough to give him praise, because he said if the birds got what they got, they know I'm going to take care of them. How much more are you worth than the birds? So know that God has his hands on you. He sees the best in you. And just like Tremaine Stuckey said, get going, do what you're supposed to be doing, because there are people waiting to hear your testimony that's going to help transform their life. Again, thank you for tuning in. I'll be back on August 11th with a very hot special guest. Matter of fact, that's a Thursday. That show will be aired from 3 to 5 p.m. More information coming soon. Catch you on the morning prayer call. Again, at 760-569-7676. The code is 980-291. Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Start your week off right. Start your day off right. And make sure that you're living the life of Christ. Let's go.
Oh, Thank you.